Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like to.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we were good or not.
Were you gonna start now?
I was gonna. Lore boys here.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were starting now or. Wait, did we start?
I think we started. Yeah, okay. we're going now.
My anxiety.
All I know is I finished.
Hell yeah.
Well, hi, finished. My name's James Miller.
I didn't say I am finished.
And I'm here with...
It's Peter O'Donohue.
I, Ethan.
He just Ethan'd.
All right. So how's everyone doing today?
Good.
I just told you, I finished.
Okay, great.
Playing the ever-loving fuck out of Into the Breach.
Nice.
I'm playing Fire Emblem, The Binding Blade.
Nice. My hunter's level 50 in World of Warcraft. I'm soon going to have 260s. And I started the Rick and Morty VR game, which was okay so far. I'm not impressed, but...
Current feelings about that show as well.
Yeah.
It's totally watchable.
I like the show. Yeah. I like the people who write it. I listen to all their
podcasts. The show. Not so crazy about the cult that seems to have developed around the show.
Yeah.
But I really like the show itself.
Speaking of things with culty fandoms, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, we are talking about Undertale.
Yes.
So, I've just finished the game last night. The first playthrough anyways, and I had a ton of fun with it. I think, Ethan, you've played a bit on stream, right?
I played a bit on stream during our 16-hour charity event for Extra Life back in November.
And I don't think Peter's played, but he knows enough by cultural osmosis.
I haven't played it. I watched a friend of mine beat it, though, so I've seen the last boss.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So if you haven't played it, don't worry. And if you have played it, great. So the way that I kind of made this episode today is I want to just fill in the gaps of knowledge if you've already have played it, and also just kind of lay the groundwork if you haven't played it. I talked to a few other people who have had one playthrough, and I was talking to them and helping them understand things. Even though they played through the whole game, they didn't catch it, kind of thing. So no spoilers, but just framework and a little bit of lore, because we're the lore boys.
We're the framework boys, we're just going to sprinkle a little bit of lore in there.
Yeah.
The format that I went with today is I want to talk about the way the game's made, the gameplay, the influences and stuff like that, then the story, and then we're going to touch on some of the endings, because there's many different endings, and that's how I want to do it.
It's kind of like the same format as our Stardew Valley episode.
Yeah.
This one written not in 45 minutes, because we forgot an episode.
Oh, yeah. Because one of us forgot an episode.
We sure did.
That was Ethan,
I don't know if we have to say one particular person is at fault.
It's joint responsibility.
Then we sent Ethan out to go get beer, and I slapped an episode together. By the time he was back, we were ready to go.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Jamie crushed that one.
Let's
see if he crushes this one, though. I'm going to be extra critical.
Because he had so much more time.
Yeah, exactly.
To prepare.
Yeah. A lot like Stardew Valley, Undertale, I only wrote this one in 45 minutes still, by the way. It doesn't change.
I work best under pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Undertale's a role-playing video game created by an indie developer, one guy, just like Stardew. But this guy's name is Toby Fox.
I thought it was Jimmy Ferret.
Jimmy Ferret? No. He's the late night show where he just goes through tiny pipes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And chokes on a necklace bead.
But Post Malone is there.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He fake laughs a lot.
Yeah. Just like me.
What was funny, Peter?
That Post Malone joke.
Oh. Do you remember when...
Just
Do you guys remember when the game came out?
2016?
Nope.
2015?
Yeah. Close.
2014.
How many? What do I win?
It was meant to come out in 2014, but it got delayed.
Do I win a copy of Undertale?
Wow, one guy development team can't get your game out on time.
Yeah, come on.
Sad.
Yeah, it came out on Steam in 2015, and then it came out on most consoles in 2017, and then like most games that are out these days, it came out on Switch a little later.
Yeah, they had to reduce the graphical quality for the Switch.
Oh my god, it looks like a SNES game already.
Yeah, it looks like Earthbound.
Kinda. I do have to say that even though like they ported it to Switch, it wasn't just like a one-to-one game. Like they did fun things. Like in the middle of a battle, it popped up that you had to use the on-screen touch keyboard at one point.
Oh, cool!
And they shouted like the player said it. Like the boss said it. He's like, "How are you going to deal with the touch?
My touchscreen keyboard Nintendo Switch."
The game is very
registered copyright symbol.
Yeah. The game is very self-aware, and I like that about it.
Yeah, it very much is. Yeah. It's a game that seeks to be a video game, if you will.
Yeah. So it was meant to be only 2 hours long. It ended up, for me, my playthrough was 6 hours long.
Wow, what a noob. Am I right, listeners?
I could see how you would rush through it, but I'd like to talk to every single NPC because they all had something funny to say. Right. There's like a...
Are you playing on Switch or on PC?
On Switch.
Okay.
On Switch.
So the game is fast. Your reading comprehension is slow, though, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The dog... In this town.
In this town.
Sound it out.
I think if you walked, like if you tried to like speedrun the game, I'm sure it's out there. If you just like walked the intended path of the game, it would probably take about 2 hours. If you didn't stop to talk about anything, if you didn't examine your inventory, if you didn't do anything like that.
Although speedrunners very rarely just walk the intended path of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
The Outer Worlds can be beaten in 12 minutes. So
that's so crazy.
I think they've got it down to like just over 10 now.
Yeah. God. Super Mario Odyssey is under an hour now.
Yeah, Sekiro I know is like 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Doom 2016 is just bonkers the way that they like fly all over the map.
Yeah, because you have to jam yourself through the ceiling and then you can just walk through an entire level.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Same thing with Prey.
Yeah, I think if I could be really good at speedrunning one game, I'd want to be good at speedrunning Super Metroid. That looks like such a fun game to speedrun.
Yeah.
Anyways. Check out Summoning Salt for all that stuff. Yeah. We love him. But.
And our speedrunning episode.
Yeah.
For me, Metroid would be way too competitive. I'd like to speedrun a game that nobody else has ever or will ever play.
Just do super hot VR like I did. I got in top 30 in like three attempts.
Yeah. That was fucking wild.
And then you were like, I'm totally going to become a speedrunner, guys, and we never heard from him again.
Oh, yeah. I got like one record that I didn't even submit, and then I was like, well, just lost interest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I guess I'm best in the world now. Might as well pack it up. I'm the only person that's ever gotten top 30 before, so...
I don't need to defend this title.
That's it. All you other people who will need to spend, like, $500 on a VR headset if you want to compete with me.
I looked at doing Darkest Dungeon when I was really into Darkest Dungeon, but, like, the fastest category the world record was like 2.5 hours. I was like, so that means like me playing through is like 12 to start, and then you like work down to like world record times, right?
Yeah.
And I was
gonna shave off 10 hours.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
I'm never gonna get there.
And that game's so hard too, like, and then there's RNG.
Well, punishing, and there is RNG.
But anyway, so Toby Fox made Undertale, and he is like pretty much the only one who did anything. The ports, some other people helped with that, of course, but he made the music, he made the game, he made most of the art, but he did outsource some of the art.
And which art assets did he outsource, James?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Just read from that list. I see you have a list in front of you. I assume it's for this.
If I had to guess, the last boss would probably be outsourced. It
would be a weird thing to outsource, though, now. If you're going to outsource, like, if this is your baby and you've created every single aspect of it and you, like, do the whole game, then you're like, the final boss, the ultimate battle, you're like, nah, too much for me.
Without spoiling it, it really becomes a... It looks different than the other battles, and it's really intense.
It becomes, like, Ocarina of Time level graphics all of a sudden. You're like, whoa.
Future!
The graphics are better than SNES, but it's not... Yeah, I'll create a die.
You got them triangle titties on the boss. Like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We were all crushing on the Sacred Fairies as kids. Don't lie.
Main inspirations for the game were Mother, like, you know, the game
Earthbound,
Mother? Earthbound, yeah. That was huge, and it looks a lot like it.
That's what I said without knowing that it was actually inspired by.
Yeah, you play like a squat, weird looking, chubby kid.
Yeah, with a big head.
Like, yeah, with a big head, just
with
like
a striped shirt.
Mm-hmm.
With
his name is Nats.
Lampshade hair.
Nash.
Yeah.
Well, your Lois Griffin hair is definitely an original concept.
Another game that it drew inspiration off is Mario and Luigi role-playing games. So Super Mario
Superstar
RPG.
Superstar Saga.
Superstar Saga.
Paper Mario.
Maybe Paper Mario.
Listen to our season one finale to hear about Superstar Saga.
Did we do that?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
We did Mario. We each did a Mario topic, and I talked about Superstar Saga.
Don't worry about that. You don't have to listen to that one.
That was 93 episodes ago.
It's also based off the Bullet Hell shooter series, Touhou Project. It's a Japanese game.
Okay. Cool. Never heard of it.
I looked it up. It looks like a Bullet Hell game.
Is it a hentai?
I don't know what
that is.
Is it
a hentai Bullet Hell?
Okay, well, yeah. That's like a Deep Space Waifu is a hentai Bullet
like,
Hell. So that's, yeah.
That's formal wear for a foul, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hentais, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
Well, business.
It's also based off the British comedy show Mr. Bean.
Okay.
Which I didn't catch.
Sure.
But, sure. Yeah.
That would explain why the main character is that three-wheeled car.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see how, having played just, like, a little bit of the game, the creator's sense of humor is very prominent in it. Because it's a funny game. It's a laugh-out-loud kind of game. But I could see how that kind of humor in an interview when somebody asks you what it's inspired by would lead you to say, it's Mr. Bean, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's some stupid thing that we would say. Like, this show's inspired by Mr. Bean. Right?
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It is in some way. Peter's head's inside a turkey right now.
Jimmy.
Did you know that there was only like 13 episodes of Mr. Bean ever made?
I saw that on Reddit the other day.
Everybody's like none.
Yeah.
You've only ever seen the same like 13 episodes or so.
I always remember the one where he goes to the theme park and he has to like change a baby and he throws the diaper out the roller coaster and someone gets a face full of it. Then he's like, oh, I don't have a diaper. So he cuts out like the crotch part of a teddy bear and puts it on the kid.
I just remember when his car gets hit by that tank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He gets out and it gets crushed.
Yeah.
There's 15. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, okay.
15.
With
wow.
The first one premiering on January 1st, 1990.
Really?
1990. Mm-hmm. Wow, we weren't even born yet.
Well, some of us weren't.
All of us.
I wasn't.
Yeah. Some people on Earth were definitely born in 1990.
No, I thought Mr. Bean was the original man.
he's not even a man. He's an alien.
Yeah, well, he was dropped down from heaven onto Earth. It's in the opening sequence.
It's in the opening sequence.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the last episode, he tries to eat a cat.
Yeah.
Am I mixing up the shows?
No, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That show that came
he says
before
nanu, nanu.
1990.
Yeah. He says nanu nanu all the time.
No, yeah, that's right.
I've never seen an episode of Elf.
Neither of us.
For any of our like Nanu Nanu listeners who have no idea what we're talking about,
Nanu Nanu is from Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy,
which I've also never seen.
Yeah, that's a Robin Williams show.
That was his first. That was his break.
The real star of that show was cocaine. It was just driving Robin Williams around.
Do you think?
Oh yeah.
I don't think so. Like, look at Robin Williams at any other point in his career. I don't think he did a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, he did. Whenever he went out to, he was filming on like on an island at one point, and he didn't have cocaine, and he just couldn't act properly. And they shipped him out a bunch of cocaine and women, and all of a sudden he was able to do his job. Well,
that's fucking Hollywood for you.
Yeah,
making dreams come
true. Robbie.
I read that on Reddit though, so that could be wrong. Yeah. It's a person who wrote it, so who knows?
Yeah, some guy who wrote it. Yeah.
No,
I met Robin Williams once. It was on an island. He did a bunch of cocaine. I shipped out for him.
Yeah, that's it. He played a board game and then he landed on the cocaine square and it all showed up.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
Yeah. Jumanji!
Yeah. It was a stampede of cocaine.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of a little background on Toby Fox and his inspirations.
Who is now, he? Where's he from? How old is he? Why is he so talented
already?
He was
Robin Williams and Mr. Bean and did a bunch of cocaine with on an island.
Okay.
Is what I believe Jamie said. If I'm following the story correctly, that was all Toby Fox.
Nanu, Ethan.
Nanu, nanu.
Good. And gameplay is the next part. So Undertale, it's a role-playing game. You walk around. It looks like a NES top-down perspective or Game Boy top-down perspective role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics look a lot like Mother or Earthbound.
Which is, if you don't know, I guess it's like really like square blocky pixels and
There's no sky. It's top-down on the ground and the kids are 2D flat against the ground, so you can see the kid in profile.
Yeah, bright colors. It doesn't really look that scary most of the time until you go into caves and stuff. Like when you're in a town, there's these animated figures. For example, the bartender in the first town you go into is just like a flame in a suit, and he's like polishing a mug.
Yeah,
and
neat.
Yeah, and then
he doesn't want to serve your kind there.
all the characters. Oh. Yeah, you remember. All the characters there are all, they're all like different wacky types of monsters, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit later. Why?
Except the kid who's human.
Exactly.
Exactly.
For human.
Does the kid have a name?
Whatever you name him.
Oh.
There is a named child, but it wasn't you.
Okay.
And it came before.
It wasn't me.
Caught me hanging out with
Pyrus. So if someone says they don't know what Mother Earthbound is, if you know Ness from Super Smash Brothers, which most people do in some way or another, that is the main character in
I say most people who listen to this show.
Yeah. Imagine the Dark Souls of Super Nintendo games.
Yeah. Earthbound.
Earthbound, yeah.
Was it Super Nintendo or was it NES?
SNES.
SNES, yeah.
Mother 1 or 2 may have been on NES. I think Earthbound, as we know it, is Mother 3.
There's too many colors in the game to be on the NES.
Yeah.
They used to do... there's like a trick in animating for the NES that if you used black as the background and then also on the character, you can make like see-through parts and things like that. There's like a bunch of ways that they got creative to use like a very limited amount of colors.
Yeah.
On their sprites or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm. Now we can't even get fucking games to run properly.
So the RPG, you walk around. It's usually talking with people, fighting in turn-based combat, and a series of puzzles. So that's like a lot of top-down RPG games.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of top-down RPG.
Games. Yeah, and
it's JRPG styled,
right?
Like Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy or
Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm.
So the kind of gimmick to this game that not all RPGs have is that you can kill everything, you can kill nothing. You can choose to befriend things, or you can choose to kill them. You get to play on your morality, which there's different endings you can get based on the decisions that you have. And there's three main endings, but within those main endings, there's many branches depending on how you handled yourself throughout the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I comport myself well, Jamie, would you say? Would you say generally I'm well-to-do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you don't eat any animals.
Boom, I get the good ending to this episode of The Lore Boys.
Yep. You eat fish, though, don't you?
Yep.
It's not an animal.
That's not animal.
That's true. That's not animal, no.
I eat shrimps, too.
Shrimps?
And spinach.
Would you eat a dolphin?
But spinach are so innocent and cute when they grow up.
Would you eat a whale?
No.
Would you eat any mammals? Would you eat a manatee?
No.
Especially not a manatee.
They're cute. The mermaids of the sea.
They're so thick.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell sailors was chubby chasers. Uh-huh. If they were just like, I just can't resist this thing's siren song makes me want to jump overboard and fuck it.
What about amphibians? Eat a frog?
No, because I think it's gross and I'm a picky eater. But I have had frog legs before.
Would you eat raw fruits or vegetables?
No, heavens no.
Yeah. They
make my throat close up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
You're pretty wild.
Yeah, I know.
Wild boy.
I don't think my dietary habits are wild, okay?
No.
I'm well-to-do, and I comport myself properly.
It's just scary, dude. If you're stuck out in the real world, like...
The wilderness.
The wilderness. the ire worldliness. And then there's berries. You'd have to make a fire before
you gotta boil your
berries.
I do boil my berries, yeah.
Yeah.
And my Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
It's a raspberry Pop-Tart. I gotta boil it.
Yeah. It's gonna make me sick otherwise. Can't eat his Pop-Tarts raw.
Just enough water that it turns to sludge, right?
Yeah.
Listen to the Lore Boys Pac-Man episode?
Yeah. It's one of our most popular episodes, actually.
We did an episode on Pac-Man. I don't even remember anything from it.
Yeah.
Other than our Pop-Tarts ravioli.
Yeah.
So Undertale's combat system, it's like a turn-based combat system where you have to, your enemy hits you or tries to hit you, and then you hit your enemy. The way that you attack is there is a bar that goes all the way across and basically a target right in the middle. And you have a vertical line that slides across depending on what weapon you have.
Like if you're playing a golf game and like your shot bar, it like goes
up. Oh, you have to adjust
your
swing.
You press A at the top and it does max damage.
So it swings across and you try and get it right in the middle. Depending on your weapon, there's different mechanics for that. There was... Like, the first thing you get is just a single bar, and it slides across, and you try and stop it in the middle. Then you get, like, these dance shoes, and it comes across, like, four of them come across, and they come out at different rhythms. Sometimes they're too close together, so you have to go tack, 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 or sometimes you have to go tack, 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 tack. So it hits you with
what other combinations could there be?
Tack, 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 tack.
Oh, that was a long puzzle.
Tack, 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 tack.
Okay, well, that was unexpected.
Tack, 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 tack.
Whoa, three in a row?
And then backwards, tack, 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 tack.
So you need to river dance Mr. Bean to death, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
When you fight him.
Yeah. When you fight your shadow clone.
Yeah, exactly. Shadow Bean.
Yeah.
For all the, like, punished Bean. Yeah, yeah. The horn and the eye patch.
For all the Polish listeners, I was just saying yes over and over again to them.
That's it's tack?
Tack means yes.
Huh.
Yeah. And dobra. Tack. Or dobra means, like, good or cool, like...
Dobra.
Dobra. Tak, tak, dobra, tak. You can just say that. If you say that, like, Polish people think you're Polish. I did it a lot. Like, they offer you something, tak, tak, dobra. Yeah. And then, okay. He seems real. But anyways.
you were making a face like you didn't want the thing that they were offering you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, they're very aloof. You okay, say, like, yeah, thank you. Yeah, get out of here. Like, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's like, but thank you, Garcon. You may go now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've brought my bag of McDonald's over.
Yeah. I mostly went to restaurants and ate by myself, so that's how that went.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Fair.
So Undertale's combat system, like I said, it has the way that you attack. Oh, now I'm just hearing it everywhere.
Attack. yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Is like you're trying to land it in the middle there, depending on your weapon. There's different mechanics or different ways to just hit that middle. And the part that is defensive, and this kind of comes from the Super Mario RPG, where even though you're going to get attacked, you do have a way to defend.
Yeah.
And it's skill-based. So in Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, you would hit A at the right time to block.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one
and
is...
And it just, like, you still take damage, but you take reduced damage if you hit A properly.
Exactly. Okay. And in this game, you are... Your character is given something called... your level is love, and you're represented as a heart when you're being defensive. And the heart is in a square, and there...
You put a heart in a box. Okay?
It's a heart in a box, and it's bullet hell. So if it's someone has a trident, maybe a trident's going to come down through your box, and you have to navigate your little heart so you don't
get hit. Oh, I've seen that. You fly your little Grinch heart around to avoid getting your feelings
hurt.
You
use the arrow keys to move your heart out of the way of danger.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So that combines... an RPG turn-based combat with a bullet hell game, which is I thought it was really, really fun.
Tech, dobra.
It felt like you could, that you're completely in control the whole time.
It's super engaging. So, like, the big criticism with, I love turn-based RPGs. Like, mm-hmm. I've beaten Final Fantasy 1 through 10, and then when they stopped doing so much turn-based stuff, I stopped playing Final Fantasy games. I love them, and I like the slow pacing, and I like that I can look away from my screen or whatever, and you could still do that in Undertale, where, like, if it's your turn to attack, you can just, like, leave your cursor sitting there, you know, and be okay for a couple seconds. But the defense mechanism is, like, so active and engaged. It's, like, these little bursts of, like, having to do stuff, and then otherwise it's just timing tacks, like Jamie said.
Yeah.
I know that Earthbound had, like, an active heal system, is that you won't take full damage if you heal while your health is ticking down.
Oh, yeah.
So it's again, very similar to that, where your defense is very much more in your control than it would be in a traditional turn-based
thing, right? In a Final Fantasy V or whatever, which is like, I attack, you attack, I attack,
or,
you attack.
Or
attack,
XCOM, attack, where you just need to get lucky. Attack. Or, like, be lucky in full cover and not be instantly
killed. Yeah, that's it. And end up with, like, an enemy, a sectoid that has, like, a 5% chance to hit you and a 1% crit chance, and they somehow, like, crit you from across the map, and you're like, well, I guess my guy's dead now.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Fun. Thank
that's
you,
life.
Once you start to feel like you're getting used to this bullet hell thing, too, where you're just a red heart moving around, they start to throw in different ways to do this. So, for example, there's a laser defense system, and there's blue and orange lasers. And when an orange laser comes at you, you have to move through it and you won't take damage. But if there's a blue laser, you have to stay perfectly still.
Yeah.
So imagine a series of lasers coming at you and you always have to be thinking, okay, move, stay still, move, stay
still,
move, stay still.
Heavy duty mind games. That would fuck me up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Especially once you get the muscle memory down.
Yeah. The last boss, his eyes flash at a certain point, or second last boss, his eyes flash at a certain point. Like, everything goes dark and it goes like, blue, orange, orange, blue. And if you're not paying attention to his cues, you won't know what's coming. And then it happens really, really fast.
Okay.
So you have to, like, it's kind of like a memory game, and then you just react to it.
Well played,
like that.
Toby Fox. That's really neat.
Who's Toby Fox? No, I'm kidding.
He's the guy who made Stardew Valley.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Another
he's
boss.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, he's the actor who plays Mr. Bean.
Another boss who's completely invulnerable to physical attacks. All of a sudden, your heart turns yellow, and you gain the ability to shoot out of your heart. So it becomes one of these games where you're not attacking in a turn-based way, but you're dodging like bullet hell and also attacking him at the same time.
So you're the little bullet hell ship.
Exactly.
Yeah. Neat.
So every...
Like in Deep Space Waifu, the formal foulware.
Ethan played a hentai bullet hell.
I played two. Yeah. Oh, to completion, right. Thank you very much.
Right.
I did it for the listeners.
To completion, is that the right word for that?
Twice.
One game.
It's a good long game.
Yeah. It's not that long.
No. The third and fourth games are way easier to beat.
That was a penis length joke.
Yeah.
So the formula for this attack system, this battle system, if there was no permutations, it's already super engaging, but then every world you go to, they kind of add a little bit more to it, and then it culminates in the final boss where you get to use all of these mechanics together.
Yeah.
Everything it's you've learned.
Like
so fun.
Like some sort of video game.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Where you get progressively stronger until you stop getting stronger and the game ends.
And then you get to the final exam.
Yeah.
Also, Toby Fox didn't want you to have to grind. So he made it so you do not need to stick around in any area. You just go whichever direction you want, and you can beat the game without taking a single, like, killing a single thing or gaining a single level or love. Your love increase is what they say whenever you're leveled.
Okay, so, you fight all these monsters or don't, and in turn become more compassionate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are, like, dogs in the game that, like, you fight them and you can attack them, or you can do stuff like pet the dog, you know, call the dog over or play fetch with the dog, and they just like they're like enemies and they're acting all tough, but they're so scripted like dogs where they just get so excited by a human who wants to pet them. They're like, oh my god.
Yeah. And this is why this game is so replayable, because I watched Ethan play it and I had a completely different outcome in my playthrough. I didn't see the dogs. I didn't have a competitive date. There's a bunch of things that happened to Ethan that didn't happen to me, and both on our first playthroughs, and the game will change on your second playthrough as well.
Oh, wow.
And even on your third playthrough, depending on how you do it. The game is constantly changing.
What about your fourth playthrough?
It can change depending on how you play it.
Just like the rhythms of the dance shoes.
It's the rhythm of the dance. Yeah, dude, it's amazing. It's amazing.
When I played, it was tack, 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 tack. When Jamie played, it was tack, 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 tack.
There we go. I'm just going to lift the cat over the wire so we don't have any problem.
This slinky cat, and she goes right back under it.
Well, if she goes under it, that's okay. She's going to lie down.
Okay.
Skirmy, could you do me a favor? Could you turn my levels up, please? Skirmy, could you give me another glass of water?
Screamer?
Thanks, Screamer.
Yeah. So, no grinding needed. That's just fun to me. Like, you know, like in Final Fantasy, oh man, I can't beat this level 99 boss until I just stay in this one area and kill things for 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah, in the older ones, it's like you're level 28 and you just have to grind for like 19 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've played a lot of the Final Fantasies, and they're like, they can be bad for that. My problem with the Final Fantasy ones is the overworld random encounters that you run into, where it's like you have to run from point A to point B to like do something, and you just like I have much less of a problem with like being forced to go grind as opposed to I end up at spots where like I'm just grinding because I keep getting running into fucking random encounters when I'm looking for one specific thing. Like, I'm trying to catch a fucking chocobo so I can get past the snake, and I just keep running into encounters, and it's just like, which isn't a thing. Like, every encounter in Undertale, at least as far as I got, was an intentional encounter.
Yeah.
There was no random encounters.
There are random encounters later, but they're few and far between, and honestly, I didn't fight the same enemies many times, so it was always kind of fun.
Okay. What does leveling up even do? Increase your love?
Leveling up is increasing your love.
Yeah.
If you don't attack anything your whole game, your love doesn't go up. I think it increases your probably your defense, your attack, your health, your RPG.
But if you
stuff.
Slaughter things indiscriminately, your love goes up.
Yes.
Yeah. Weird statement, Toby Fox.
Yeah. It's actually very much baked into the game, and when you finish the game the first time, they explain why it's that way.
Okay.
And I'm not going to ruin it for the people who want to play the game.
Okay, but why is it that way, Jamie?
I will give you more background on the game, though, so don't worry. I won't leave you hanging. So, like you said, where you're trying to go back and forth, and you're running into random encounters, and you're trying to go get one thing to bring back to another thing, which is kind of annoying, he didn't want to put fetch quests in the game at all. He didn't like backtracking.
Yeah.
He just wants you to be able to explore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is awesome. Even though I play a ton of World of Warcraft, which is just
for a guy who said like I love that I don't have to grind or backtrack at all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, your second character's level 50 now in WoW
Classic. Yeah, yeah, I'm working on my third too, but I'm having fun with that. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe it's just satisfying a different part of my gaming experience.
Yeah.
They're fun in their own ways. It's not. I don't think it's a commentary on like these things are bad. It's just this is not what this game is trying to achieve.
You can't like both these things, Jamie. It makes no sense and scares me.
Yeah.
In terms of the difficulty, he made sure it was easy and enjoyable. like your final boss encounter, it's kind of weird. Like your health will go down, but like the bullet hell is absolutely insane. Like there's no way you could get through this and not get hit your first time.
Okay.
And your health will go down and it'll like slip. It almost like halves every time. And it's like asymptotic that it almost like gets right to the bottom and then heal back up. And then it goes right to the bottom and heals back up. I don't know if it's possible to die because I was dodging the best I could, but it felt like it was very forgiving, but okay, also felt tense the entire time.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot more important, I think, for a good boss fight is for it to feel good and not necessarily stomp you into the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, I think Dark Souls is a great example where, like, because the mechanics are so smooth and so rounded, even a very difficult boss encounter where they stomp you into the earth still usually feels good.
Yeah.
Because you are constantly in control of everything that's happening.
And generally speaking, especially in the later games, it's quick to get back to them.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of frustrating downtime.
Yeah, exactly.
But the last boss feels like you almost can't die. Like, everything else, you definitely can die. I died, like, three or...
Well, the first boss, you can't die.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't...
I tried to die to her.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Just kill me, mommy.
Yeah.
Do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
So, yeah, there's, like, a mother figure when you first start off the game.
She's like a goat.
Yeah,
she's like a goat person.
It gets to a point where like you have your heart in the center box, and I like this is not really a spoiler because it's the very first boss in the game.
Yep.
But like she's like, oh, you have to prove that you're strong enough if you want to like leave or whatever. So then you like she challenges you to a fight, and at first she like deals like crazy amounts of damage to you, and then by the end, like when your health is low. When you're in the bullet hell thing, her bullets will dodge you. So you can move the heart around and try and hit bullets, and like those bullets will all like dodge you.
Oh, I remember that happened to you. So I beat her, and I used all my consumables, so I never got low with her.
Oh, yeah.
But there we go, I guess. Yeah. So we had completely different experiences.
Yeah,
that's a neat mechanic as well.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I felt too bad. I was like, I want to see what happens like if you lose this fight, if you just like stay in her house or whatever until you like... do end
until
up
you're 35 her. And she kicks you out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the endings.
Yeah,
the kid gets all fat. Yeah.
But no, she'll never kill you. She'll never down you.
Yeah. So also there's not only just like attack, there's an act.
Yes,
act. It's attack or attack act
deck
item mercy.
Yeah,
so you can you can give mercy to
is
everything.
Is there a flea too? Is there a run?
That's mercy. Mercy is just like...
Mercy is you let them run.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's the same difference in this game.
Oh, yeah, so there's not a flea.
Four
like, if you have... Because, like, mercy you do against one specific enemy.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if there's, I'm in a flea from three enemies now.
I killed everything that I could on my way through, so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, but I just chose mercy the whole... Yeah. I never chose mercy the whole way through, so I wouldn't know if there's a flea. Yeah. But at the bottom, for sure, there's four options.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's not a run. I'm just trying to remember.
No, yeah. I don't know. So they can use act. Act is the second one. Is like just different actions you could do other than attack or give mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You can like scan things. You can, if you have a friend at a certain part, you have like a scientist friend who's always calling in.
Okay.
You can call him and be like, hey, what's going on with this? And he can like give you suggestions and things like that. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm surprised you never used mercy either. Because like some enemies, even like I didn't play for that long. I played for like an hour maybe.
Yeah.
But there were some enemies it was just so much more effective to use mercy on. Like, it was just, like, a one hit. Like, they automatically leave. But you don't gain any heart or love or whatever.
Yeah. It's EXP. Which, EXP actually stands for execution points.
You
find out later. Your first playthrough, you're encouraged to just play however, like, kill things like a normal RPG. Maybe give mercy to some things.
Yeah.
And you almost always get the neutral ending on your first time through.
Okay.
And at the end, they tell you, like, yeah, all that EXP, what you think was experience, is execution points.
That's interesting.
Damn. So you've been killing things, and...
Yeah,
that's...
Well, killing things does kill things.
Yeah.
That is something that I already know.
I like how your, like, level of bloodlust is what's measured at the end.
Yeah, it is. So, anyone...
Bloodlust, heart strength. The more blood, the stronger your heart.
That's what I know.
Yeah.
If you are playing through the first time... Do not try and go for the pacifist route or the genocide route.
You're not depositing me.
Because you physically can't.
Oh, okay. Then do tell me what to do.
Yeah, you need to go through... Just play what feels natural. You will kill a couple things. You'll save a couple things. And
a few dogs, I hope.
Yeah. that will make sure that you get the neutral ending. Then once you get the neutral ending, it starts to open up on... It'll give you a little bit more backstory on what's going on in the game, and then it encourages you to play a different way the next time through.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Like a new game plus.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's three endings. Neutral ending, the true pacifist ending is what the second one's called, and then the genocide.
False pacifist ending.
There's a true...
The false positive ending.
The baby eating.
Yeah. The true pacifist you have to do after the neutral and before the genocide, because if you do the genocide once...
You can never do the pacifist?
You can do the pacifist, but it's a different result. At the end of the genocide, you give...
That's wild.
At the end of the genocide, you give up your soul to basically save the world. Okay. So once you do that once, you're locked into that, and your next one would be the soulless pacifist ending, not the true pacifist ending.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. This game, I was in the Steam community forums doing my best to decode it with only have finished the neutral ending.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot there. There's a lot there. I'm going to set up what you need to know to get into it, and then you can dive in and try and finish it as many ways as you
can. You can cap off your evening with a nice genocide ending if you want.
But not before the true passes end.
No, exactly.
No dessert before dinner, young man.
I would give up my soul just for another portion of this lovely devil's food cake.
Mom, can I have my genocide yet? Not until you finish your peace.
You finish your pacifist run, honey.
Yeah, peace stands for pacifist.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking peace, peas.
Peace.
Oh, peas, okay.
But we got there.
Yeah, there we go.
We all have jokes, huh?
We're all at this expensive restaurant trying not to kill everyone in the room. Uh-huh. Especially not Mr. Bean.
It is awful nice that this fancy restaurant in our hometown always lets us record.
Yes.
And like tells all its other patients to keep the fuck down.
Yeah.
Give everybody plastic forks and knives so they don't like make any noise on the table. Yeah.
They have to drink their soup through a spoon. A spoon straw.
Yeah. Wow, that would be so weird using a spoon on soup, Jamie. Yeah.
I drilled a hole in my spoon so I could drink my soup through it.
You have to put it up against your lip and then like put your face in the bowl.
Pretty much.
At McDonald's, the McFlurry spoons are kind of like that. They got a hole right down the middle.
So they can clip into the mixer.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I worked there. I should know that.
I hate aerodynamics. But...
Now we know Toby Fox made it. He made pretty much everything. The music, which is great.
For a couple art assets. Which art assets didn't he make, James?
Probably the last boss, but I'm not sure.
Okay, good. Mm,
okay.
Then now we also know the inspirations. We've got the Mother series, Super Mario, the Tahu Project.
Alf.
And Mr. Bean, or Alf, or Mork and Mindy, or Robin Williams, or
Cocaine Island.
Yeah.
That was the original title for Undertale. But they wouldn't let him port it to Switch.
Yeah.
So now we know there's also your choices matter. It's measuring your morality. You have to play through the neutral ending first, but then the game opens up. You get more story on the once you do the pacifist ending. You get more action once you do the genocide ending. It's really cool. And we know it's a bullet hell RPG. So let's talk about the story. What the heck's going on?
Does he have a lore master? Is that one of the things he didn't do himself?
A lore master? No, he did this. He did all the lore. Oh, he did all the lore.
All the lore and story, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
That's the easy part of a video game.
I think so. The world building?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the story? I mean, come on. Just get a girl with big knockers in there. You don't even have to write a story.
Put her up in a tower and then go get her.
The gamers will be looking at her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, buddy.
It's like my last episode, Gex, in the third one. There's put a girl with big knockers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A real live-action girl with big knockers in it.
Yeah.
That this lizard could save.
Yeah. Yeah. And then fuck, presumably.
Yeah, well, they finished in a hotel room, yeah.
Would she lay an egg?
Would he just slither up inside her?
Maybe.
All questions that need answers.
Listen to our Gex episode to find out.
Maybe. Ooh, we talked about it.
Yeah. The tantric lizard sex.
Yikes.
I was lost. I was lost in a haze of opium for that episode. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so Undertale starts off by telling us the story of the monsters' war against the humans. So this is the big thing is...
That's why that fire guy is racist against you, presumably.
That's why a lot of the monsters are racist against you, presumably.
It's monsters versus humans. They used to live in the same world all together. Mm-hmm. But one day... The humans sought to drive out the monsters from the world. And
as you do.
Yep. The monsters fought back, but they lost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they were forced to go to the underground, Undertale is what it's called.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're like a human kid who is trying to escape your war crimes, so you've gone to Argentina.
You accidentally fall into the underworld, basically.
It's more like you're a child who's trying to escape your war crimes by going to Israel.
Oh, okay.
Like, you're going where... Well, now I just realized that my metaphor makes the Jews the monsters. I think your metaphor makes the Jews the monsters, actually, Peter.
No, so. A bunch of Nazis escaped Argentina.
Yeah, but if you're saying the humans are the Nazis, then the persecuted are the monsters.
I'd like to put a great barrier between me and this conversation.
And grief.
There was a great barrier put between the monsters and the humans. Mm-hmm. The humans being above in the overworld, and the monsters being below in the
Undertale.
The Undertale, yeah. So
P-A-L-L-E.
Something like you need to know about this game is that the souls are a big part of this. There's monster souls, there's human souls, and they have different properties. A human soul is stronger than a monster soul.
Yes.
Okay.
But a monster can take a human soul unto itself and become much, much stronger.
Is that why they were harvesting monsters?
No.
That would be why monsters would have been harvesting humans.
Okay.
Yeah, because the human souls are the strong ones. The monster souls are less strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a monster plus a human soul, even stronger. But only monsters can add human souls onto theirs.
Right, yeah, so they need to get juiced off of human souls.
Exactly, yeah. And they mainline us.
To pass through the barrier, a monster would need to get 7 human souls absorbed into itself. Every human soul that it takes in, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And the last boss you fight basically has 6 souls, and you would be the 7th. And it is pretty much the strongest it could be without... raising. Once you get 7, you can go through the barrier and just wreak havoc on humanity.
What was his name again? I've seen that boss fight.
King of Monsters.
There's a couple different ones. I don't want to say the actual last one because it would spoil
things. I know who the last one is, but the second to last boss is the big...
No
spoilers.
Dinosaur guy?
Yeah, he's... I'll get to him.
Yeah, okay.
I'll get to him.
But Peter, why are you trying to jump ahead?
I didn't know.
We just started talking about the story, and you're like, how does it end, though? This is why I don't take you to the cinema.
I'm always talking out loud.
Yeah, that's it. You're ruining the porn plots for me. So, did I say cinema? I meant skinema.
There's a great barrier. A great barrier. The way that a monster can get through is to absorb 7 human souls, or in tandem, like together, a monster and a human can, like, agree with consent, fuse their souls to go through.
Okay.
So a monster can't just, like, grab a guy and then go through and fuse, but if they were together to say, like, we're going back through the barrier, they could.
If the monster gecko were to slither up the lady human's vagina willingly, then they could go through the barrier, is what you're saying.
Your words, yeah.
My words, but not wrong. Not always right, but I'm never wrong.
So the way that our boy, who is the one boy who fell down, the only way he could get back up to his home is to fuse with one monster. I think the human can make the monster do it not consensually, but the monster needs consent to do it. Otherwise, because a monster needs 7 souls, but you only need 1.
Right, but so you just need to find one that you need to steal.
Yeah,
basically. Jamie just flipped double birds when he said one.
Yeah, I saw that.
The ones were his middle fingers, and he just flipped
pointing
me and Peter
up
off.
Towards the above tail.
I only need one.
It's my longest finger. I was trying to really
emphasize.
Yeah. And you do have short fingers.
Yeah.
Except for his middle finger.
Yeah.
It's very
freakishly long. I took almost 5 times as long as your other fingers.
I took all the top knuckles off my other fingers and just had it put onto my middle finger.
Added to your
middle. So I have 5 nails on that thing on top.
Ew.
So you could be like one of those weird lemurs from Madagascar with with the extra long middle fingers.
Yeah. To get termites out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You use it to stick them into trees.
You
ever see a guy with his tree stuck, his middle finger stuck in a tree at the park?
It's probably Jamie.
It's always me. So yeah, the monsters are basically trying to get your soul whenever you land into the game. Basically, the big guy at the end, Asgore is his name. That's the one you're asking about, Pete.
Yep.
Has 6 souls. He wants a 7.
He's ate a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that.
And they're tasty, and he needs power to cross the barrier.
Yep.
Stop racism.
Well, he was a nice guy once upon a time.
And
we're starting off with him as a nice, nice guy. Asgore is a nice guy. He's the king of the monsters But for now, 7 souls to get out for a monster, 1 soul to get out, kind of unclear on how that works, but a human only needs 1.
Okay.
Because the souls are...
It's called soul fusion. So, like, instead of killing something and taking their soul, it's like you're fusing together.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I guess you weaken the soul by killing it. And so then, like, you would need, like, 7 weakened souls. Or maybe. One
You can't
whole
eat that soul.
Soul
raw. You need to beat him so you don't get E. coli. There's, and then you fuse with it.
You have to pay the troll toll.
There's a dialogue that you, when you're walking through a cave in the game and you click on it, it, like, actually, it says that human souls are more powerful than monster souls. That's why monsters want to take them in.
But so they're barely not powerful enough to get back to the barrier.
I guess so.
You just need that little extra little nudge of, like, one dead monster. Preferably an innocent one, virgin monster, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just like you need someone tall enough that you can stand on their shoulders and reach the top of the barrier to climb over.
Okay.
But if they're dead, then they can't stand. Oh. So they're much, much shorter. But you could pile 7 bodies on top of each other and use those to get it.
It's just as high as a normal body.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So, fun fact, kind of like the golden ratio, like your arms out to the side is like your exact height. And the distance between, like, your belly button and your toes is the same as the distance between the belly button and the top of the head.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody's body is 1/7 as wide or as deep as they are tall.
Your large intestine, when unraveled, is the length of a football field.
Exactly, yeah.
Golden ratio.
Yeah. That's why
everything is measured in football fields in the States.
So,
yeah, now the leaders of the monsters are Queen Toriel and King Asgore. And eventually, they have a child named Azrael.
Okay.
So Azrael is pretty important in the lore.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point in time where the first human falls through into the underground. This is after the barrier's made. One human falls through. It's the first one ever.
Are they all afraid of it, like in Monsters, Inc., or is it...
Yeah. Monsters, Inc. is set in Undertale.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, that's it's the underworld.
Yeah, yeah. Spoilers, but that's the end of Undertale, is you find out that you've been working with Sully and Mike Wazowski the whole time.
So maybe if the monster in Monsters, Inc. was not yet trained to scare people, because what happens is Chara falls through and is discovered by Azrael. Both are kids at the time.
Okay.
So it's a kid finds a kid, and they're different, but they're both kids.
It's like the fox and the hound. They learn to accept each other's differences.
Exactly. Yeah. Until the hound is trained to hunt the fox.
Exactly. But then he saves him from a bear.
Well, which is nice. That movie makes me cry.
Yeah, me too. Azrael picks up Chara. Chara is the first human.
Okay.
Chara.
Okay. Zdeno.
Sorry?
Hockey player.
Don't worry. Oh, okay. He's friend for the Bruins.
I said it, then I was like, Jamie's not going to know what I'm talking about.
He's a big guy who played on the Senators. He's an enforcer. He's a fighter. I do know that because my mom was very into hockey, and I always talked about
Chara. She was an Oilers fan.
Yep.
No, I
know Senators. Senators.
Was she a Senators fan? I thought she was an Oilers fan.
Nope, Senators.
Anyway.
Anyways, so Chara falls in. Azrael picks up Chara. Brings her home because brings him home. Chara is injured from the fall, fell all the way into the underground. And the king and queen, Toriel and Asgore, actually take them in.
Okay.
And raise them as one of their own. So this child is raised in a royal monster family.
Okay. That explains why they're so good at hockey.
It sounds like a setup for a children's TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just called the royal
raised
monster.
Raised by
family.
Monsters. Yeah. Monster family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or step monster. Step monster.
Oh my god.
Would be what it is.
This summer. Yeah. I could see it, dude. It sucks.
A woman is abusing her stepchild.
Oh no.
What kind of zany hijinks will they get up to trying to kill their stepmother? Paramount, reach out to us. Come on.
Yeah, get at us.
Yeah.
So we don't get much information because all of this that we're learning is kind of through things that you read in the game. So we don't really know about how Chara grew up or the time they spent there.
Grew up in a monster household, possibly consuming human souls for power.
And do we not know because your reading comprehension is low, or is it just not known in terms of the game?
I'll say it's not included, but okay, that's up for you guys to interpret.
That wasn't just a dig. That was a callback joke, so... You can't be mad, Jamie.
I'm not. So, yeah.
I promise you're not mad.
Azrael sees that Chara becomes deathly ill one day. Chara becomes very, very, very sick.
Did he have monster pox?
He ate a pie that had a... it's implied that he ate a pie that had a flower in it that he shouldn't have eaten.
Okay.
Oh, okay, like nightshade or some poisonous shit?
Yeah.
Opium. Just a poppy seed muffin.
What did you do, Azrael? You can't feed your pet people chocolate. It's going to kill them.
The chocolate flower.
Coincidentally, Chara's final death wish is to return to his home village and to see the golden flowers that were native to his homeland, and that's where he wants to die, basically.
Okay.
And so Azrael says, okay, I'll do anything I can to help you get there. So they decide to fuse souls.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask, does he absorb his soul to, like, keep it safe so he could one day get up to the surface?
Keep
yeah.
it secret.
Keep it safe. And then start eating flowers indiscriminately yeah. on the surface world?
This so
is for you.
Azrael absorbs Chara's soul, and they head to the land of the humans, but there's too much trouble on both of these. There's a dying soul inside of a soul. There's some turbulence. One's trying to go one way, one's trying to go another kind of thing. They're not both trying to get home for a reason I'll explain soon, and both of them die.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Both of them die, yeah. So this is really bad. You find this out from, like, tapes that you can find in a secret lab in the game, mm-hmm. and you can see this. But we find out that Chara was not so pure. Chara poisoned himself, or it's implied that he poisoned himself to get the monster to fuse with him.
To guilt Azrael into fusing with him. Like,
no,
I'll never do that with a boy like you.
No.
I'm dying. It's my last wish is to get with you.
Something much more sinister than that, actually.
Okay.
Chara wanted to destroy all of humanity. Okay. And to fuse with the monster soul is to make himself more powerful. And to come back, everybody else just has a human soul. He'd come back with a monster and a human soul and could just start killing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So Chara poisoned himself.
My dying wish is to get with you so we could kill all of humanity.
Yeah. Chara.
I remember my first time.
My mom always told me never say no to a sick kid, but this feels wrong.
Yeah. That's the reason why they both died, though, is because they could...
Because she was like, yeah, I'll take you home, and he was like, I'm not going home, you stupid.
Yeah, we're going to kill everyone. Azrael resisted.
Yeah.
Then they just destroyed each other.
Okay. Now that we're together, we can finally genocide the surface world.
No. What about the golden flowers? The golden flowers were a metaphor for exterminating all human life. How could I be so blind?
Yeah.
My high school English teacher would be furious with me for missing this.
So something that I'm not super clear on, but I'll set this up so if you do play through the game, you can watch out for cues about this. There's a flower in the game that talks to you called Flowey the Flower.
Yeah, he's the first enemy.
First enemy. You don't really kill him, but...
No, he gets scared off by Toriel.
Flowey is the fused soul of Chara and Azrael.
Oh.
And that's not made clear. There's a whole... It gets super convoluted. There's, like, time travel involved. There's Flowey the Flower at some point discovers save points in the game. Like, physically can save, so can revert to saves and things like this.
Cool.
Which you fight Flowey later, and Flowey can turn back the tides of battle and revert to save points and things like this.
Like, regain hit points kind of thing?
Neat.
Yeah. Or just go back to a certain point in the battle.
Okay, yeah.
And
he can set up like a fixed point in time to return to.
So like if you had two bombs in your pocket and 50% health, then you take damage and use your bombs. You can go back to having two bombs in your pocket and 50% health.
Okay, cool.
So that gets really convoluted. I think I need to play through the next two endings to understand more why that's going on. But I encourage you guys to do it because it seems really interesting.
Okay.
That I only mention that because it would not ruin my first playthrough. I would just be looking for, why is it? Why is that happening? I almost want to play through the neutral ending again so I can pick up on the small
things.
Pick
up on those, yeah.
So Azrael, when you first talk to him, in the very first... So you do talk to him at some point, and he does tell you about this.
Azrael?
Yeah.
Azrael's a girl, right?
No, a boy.
I thought it was a daughter.
No, it's a boy. It's a boy. They're both boys. So in one of the endings, you talk to Azrael, and Azrael explains this to you that they fused. And
turned into an evil flower.
Yeah. I think...
As you do.
I think it's in the genocide ending. Once you kill everything, then the flower might split, and then you have to face Azrael for what it really is. I don't know, but...
I don't know.
It seems intense. It seems intense.
Okay. Yeah. Read on and find out.
Exactly. So, yeah, so they in theory, Chara fell into the underground, got adopted by the royal family, found a poisonous flower, then killed himself to merge with, killed himself to merge with Azrael.
Azrael into merging.
Yeah, and then to kill all humans, and then when they fail because Azrael resisted, they both died.
Chara,
when you start the game, you're just after the, like, you're a certain amount of years past after Azrael and Chara died. And this, because of this, the king, who used to be a cool guy, lost both of the sons that he raised.
Yeah.
Decides, I hate all humans. So any humans that fell into thereafter, assumedly six of them fell in thereafter, uh-huh. because he has six souls when you start the game.
Oh, yeah, and he wouldn't have gotten Chara's soul.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten
Chara's soul. Azrael got Chara's soul.
Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah. And then turned into a flower.
Yeah.
So.
As you do.
Okay.
The queen, what? Like, as much as she was sad, she completely hated the man that the husband turned into, or the whatever he looks like, that dog-looking weird thing. He's got long ears, a big nose. He's not a person, but I don't know what he is. But whatever.
He's a big monster, king of the monsters.
Dogs aren't people.
Nope.
Dogs are monsters.
So Queen Toriel packs up and leaves and goes to a place to basically intercept the humans and keep them safe.
Uh-huh.
And Queen Toriel is the person that you first run into.
Okay, so she's like underneath that one big hole that they can't just get patched up that, yeah. that keeps having humans fall in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like a pothole from some city above.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just that's below Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the hole is on the other side of the barrier. So she walks up to it and she's like, damn it, I can't fucking do anything about it.
So that's basically all the story that I wanted to set up. You can play through it. There's three main bosses in the game that you'll see. There's the first guy, or actually I have them here. I'll say all of them.
Why don't you go ahead and say them on air, James?
Yeah.
Out so them.
There's one called Papyrus.
Okay, yeah.
He's a skeleton.
You can go on a date fight with him.
He's the brother. Oh, that's where you had the date fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
You fight Papyrus.
Yeah. He's the brother of who's the guy who just got added to Smash?
Sans.
Sans. Yeah. Exactly. So he's the
They're both types of fonts.
Sans oh, yeah.
and Papyrus, all his dialogue is in the Papyrus font.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
In the game.
Yeah.
Is Sans in Sans?
Presumably.
Comic
but
Sans?
I think all the text is in Sans.
Oh, okay.
Sans is
Or Sans I don't is know. A type of font, right? Like, it's sans serif.
Comic Sans.
Comic Sans, yeah. yeah.
I
it's
don't
like
know.
A modifier to font.
Okay. I don't know how to interpret Sans yet on my first playthrough. He's more than he appears. Yeah. He talks like Banjo-Kazooie, and that song just happens. You guys just recreated the atmosphere of the game perfectly.
Oh, good. You don't even need to play it now. You got the whole thing.
Yeah, you're good.
There's Papyrus. Undyne, U-N-D-Y-N-E, which is like it's a woman.
Aragorn,
assumedly,
Ranger of the Unadine.
Assumedly, a woman who's in all armor suit and like a super scary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Girl to fight.
Yeah, so. she's the hottie of the game.
Oh, okay. She's
you don't really see her body. You just see a suit of armor.
I see a powerful ass woman in a suit of armor, and I'm like, hell yeah.
Okay.
He's got a giantess thing. Remember, we've established this. Yeah. He just wants to be picked up and hugged.
Zarya is the hottest character in Overwatch. Tweet me. Like, tweet at me.
So she's scary, but doesn't really say anything. It's just like a walking thing of armor that looks really, really powerful.
Kind of just like clanks around.
Yeah, where I stopped playing, I had just started to see her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next guy is Metaton.
He's a Pokemon.
A robot that is obsessed with entertainment and TV ratings.
Okay.
And keeps putting you through, like, game show type things.
Okay.
But usually that are supposed to ultimately kill you. And he sets, like, crazy parameters. Like, so I'm on a cooking show. And now you need to get this. And if you don't get it in 10 seconds, you will die. And then he puts it on a platform and shoots it, like, 300 feet in the air.
It's like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, but the person who made the robot, Alphys, has a crush on you, and it keeps like trying to be like, do you want to watch a movie with me? And like that. And says, like, I've been waiting for the person to fall in love with. There's cameras all over the game, and she's been watching you.
Okay.
Basically is trying to help you not die, and her whole thing is like she's going to get you to the end and right at the last second save you from Metaton and be like the person who saved you.
Okay.
So you have fallen in love with them, but in the end they can't, so you just beat them anyway.
So you do Hell's Kitchen, do you do The Apprentice?
Yeah, so they throw the Hell's Kitchen
Survivor.
They throw 300 feet in the air and you can't get to it, but Alphys gives you a jetpack, so you can go all the way up, and you just barely survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Real Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Gordon Ramsay shows up at a small town restaurant, threatens the owner with death, and then launches their food into the air.
You're thinking of Hotel Rescue, I think?
No, I'm thinking of... that's Hotel Hell.
Hotel Hell?
Yeah, but there's also...
Hell's Kitchen is where they're in his kitchen.
It's Kitchen Nightmares, excuse me, is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tune in next week for Gordon Ramsay lore.
I fucking love Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, they're easy to watch. That's really easy. Like all of the cooking channel.
Yeah.
It's really digestible content. That was a cooking joke. A cooking channel joke.
Nice. I'm raising my eyebrows as I approve of his joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter's great on the radio. As the sound of his eyebrows for anyone who didn't get that.
Whoa!
I kicked the table.
So there's a few different endings. That's kind of the story. So we can talk about the three main endings of the game. The first main ending, like I said, I kind of alluded to this already. You have to do this one first before you do anything else. And it's the neutral.
Jimmy neutral.
Yeah. So at home, to make sure that you do this, I don't think you can fuck it up. Like, I think you have to go through the neutral. But to get the neutral ending, these are the parameters.
What if you chose to slaughter everything that came into your path in your first playthrough?
I would have to do it, wouldn't I?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Are you bloodlusted enough at this point?
I would do a pacifist and then a genocide, just because I know from looking it up that that's the only way you could see all of the endings without losing your soul.
Well, we established that the genocide is the palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the coffee at the end of the night.
At the end of the meal.
So the parameters for this is a neutral ending occurs when these conditions are met. The protagonist does not befriend all the pivotal characters, Papyrus, Undyne, and Alphys. The protagonist kills any, but not every monster.
Like one, between one and all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
No. Between one and all minus one.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Not all.
Any, but not all.
I do think that there is some sort of mechanic that, like, you don't see all the monsters in your first playthrough or something, that you can't just get genocide on your first way through.
Oh, okay.
Because you need to get neutral.
Okay.
So, on your first one. The neutral route ends with the protagonist escaping the underground alone.
That's not so bad.
So I looked on the wiki and I counted 20 different branches of the neutral ending. So even if you just get the neutral ending, you could let one guy live and another guy die, or this guy live and another guy. If you leave your armor, which is a dirty bandage from your first when that you start the game with, and you get to the end, someone mentions you're still wearing that dirty bandage. If you never,
whoa, what crazy differences between all these endings.
If you don't eat any consumables the entire way through, they're like, aren't you hungry?
Okay.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So any small,
aren't you hungry? Why are you still wearing that dirty bandage? Like, oh boy, your socks smell like
I think the cruelest,
how about
ending,
pasta?
The cruelest ending would not be the genocide ending, because then there's no one left to be sad. I think if you left one person alive and left.
Yeah.
Here's Peter advocating for genocide.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm just saying.
If you kill everyone, there's no one left to be sad about it.
So you don't have
Peter Donahue 2020.
You don't have to be guilty. There's nobody sad.
Yeah. The true pacifist route, we'll call it this one because I don't really know what happens in the soulless pacifist route.
Poke a flower into every gun barrel.
Yeah. This ending so at the end of the neutral route, it does say that EXP stands for execution points, mm-hmm. which means that it says, like, you have, what is all this violence done, kind of thing. So then you're,
other than make you stronger,
mm-hmm. yeah, but you
what
killed
cost
them. It tells you, basically, like, it kind of gives you a hint, next time don't kill anything, because you don't have to.
See what happens.
Yeah, because this is the natural progression. You're supposed to do the pacifist next. Mm-hmm. So the ending occurs when all these conditions are met. A neutral route has been completed. A reset is not required, only reloading a player's save file afterwards. No monsters were killed throughout the game. The protagonist cannot gain any EXP as a result, cannot progress past love one. You learn the first playthrough that EXP, I told you that, stands for execution points. Papyrus, Undyne, and Alphys have all been befriended. A genocide route has not been completed in the past, doing a pacifist route.
There's no, like, oh yeah, see, he learned his lesson ending. Yeah. Genocide and then pacifism. Yeah.
Because of the way the genocide thing ends, that you, everything dies and you need to give up your soul so the world can continue existing.
Right, yeah.
To give up your soul, which would mean you wouldn't have a soul for your pacifist ending, so you have to do that one first.
Yeah. The kid just gets out of the Undertale and or the underground and gets an office job.
Yeah, and you get different credits if you have a pacifist ending.
Cool.
And then there's the genocide route. All of these routes do have different branches that you can go down, but like small differences, but this is the main broad strokes. The ending only occurs when all enemies in every area, ruins, Snowden Forest, Waterfall, Hotland, and Core are killed until no one remains. This includes all bosses. Completing the genocide routes leads to the destruction of the game's world. Upon relaunching the game after a completed genocide route, the first human asks the protagonist to give up their soul in exchange for the recreation of the world. So the game just ends and it goes to a black screen, I'm assuming. It kind of did that to me at one point in my first playthrough. This effectively acts as the same way as a true reset, but also permanently alters the endings of any later genocide or pacifist ending. So,
okay. Interesting. So yeah. You end up being like a husk.
Yeah.
Now, if you delete your save, can you start fresh, basically?
I'm almost positive, okay. Yes. Yeah. Because I just I beat the game last night.
I mean, there's some way you could scrub your PC. If I re-image my PC, am I able to... I play on a completely different computer, am I able to play an original playthrough?
Curses your Steam account.
Yeah.
What I saw whenever I played through, I just beat it last night, is that your file just stays there, and you kind of have the option within that, like, link to the past three file systems, you have to select the same file and then say reset.
Oh, okay.
It's like New Game Plus.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like Doki Doki Literature Club, where it just like adds game files, and you can uncover the mystery by going into your game files folder.
Yeah, you have to go into the directories and shit.
Text file.
So a true genocide ending, like kill everything ending, will affect your future genocide and pacifist runs, but you can do any of the neutral endings after a genocide run. So save your genocide for last, try your pacifist after neutral. You go neutral, pacifist, genocide. That's if you want to see them all, do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, that's Undertale. Super, super fun game.
Well, that's a podcast episode about Undertale. What you just listened to wasn't Undertale itself.
You did this last time, too.
Damn. I'm never funny. I wasn't funny last time, and I'm not that funny this time.
No original stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, honestly, I had so much fun. I would put this... I had that on the Switch, and I would go to work. I would get off the bus, and I would be like right before a fight, or I just finished something, and I'd be thinking about it all day at work. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm about to pick up off here. What's going to happen next? And even though I did give you the framework of what happens, there's still so many surprises, so many things learned in the game. Try it out. I know everybody's already crazy about it. It's a cult classic.
Yeah.
But
it's like a mainstream classic at this point.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's hot enough. Fucking Sans is in Smash.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good, though. If you haven't played it, it is worth it. It is worth it.
I definitely will. It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely have, but I haven't been there.
Speaking of which, our Steam accounts are like brothers but closer, so I can play your games. Can you play mine?
Probably.
Okay. This sounds like an off-year kind
of thing.
Yeah. Just a little quick aside there.
Yeah. Peter, just tell me your Steam account username and password, and then I'll go home and check.
Right
now? Please.
Okay.
Yeah, right now.
I need the three numbers on the back of your credit card, too, to make sure.
I already have my credit card saved to my Steam account.
Oh, perfect.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's all taken care of.
The back of my credit card just says Bumper 15.
All right. Well, I've been James. You can find me on the internet at TLB_James Miller on Instagram. And you guys?
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, at Loreboys Podcast on the old Grimmy Gram, and loreboys.com. Check out our website and our contact page and all the current artwork that I've actually managed to finish, you know?
I'm at Ethan the Dead Man. Our Twitter is at Loreboys. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, which gives us money to make stuff.
Yeah.
You can choose an episode. You can choose, you know, what topic we talk about. A couple of the recent episodes have been just that. Us
fulfilling requests.
Yeah, doing our civic duty, I guess, as it were. We do this as a draft requirement. If we host this podcast, we don't need to worry about getting drafted into the Canadian Army.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't trust Patreon, we do of course have another subscription service. It's called Loreboys Prime. This month, Loreboys Prime, you got to leave us an iTunes review. If you leave us an iTunes review, we are gonna send you a soul. We have so many monster souls because we just finished genociding over here, and we are like inundated with them. So we've got 7 souls apiece. We're ready to wipe out all of humanity next. But
if you don't want that to happen, we can divide these souls up between all y'all.
Yeah. Or if you don't want that to happen, you can take your own 7 souls, which we'll send you for leaving an iTunes review, and you can fight us. Come fight us. You know.
I'd recommend, if you aren't gonna get one of these souls, eat a flower pie soon, because genocide means you won't feel bad, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no guilt.
Yeah, dying means don't feel bad.
No, yeah, that is true. Well, there's no proof. According to Christianity, I'm going to feel really bad after I die.
Probably forever.
Probably forever.
Yikes.
Yikes. And that constitutes a Loreboys.
Yikes.
Out.
What's the overhead on this Undertale episode?
Hi, Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.